Today's Shiur Masechta Metziah Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin in Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Hayman da Ogalei Beis L'Chavrei L'Esa Shnin. If somebody rented an apartment to somebody else for 10 years, the cost of Leishtara and a document, the lease was written, Vamalei, and then the landlord tells the tenant, Nikitas Chamishnin, 5 years of the lease have already passed, and you only have 5 years left, Mehemin. And as Rashi explains the case of the Gemara, the landlord says that you were here 5 years, and you only have 5 years left, and the tenant says that he was here only 3 years, and he has 7 years left, and the halacha is that the landlord is Neman. Obviously, the Sma points out that there is no date to the lease, for if there's a date to the lease, we know when to start counting. Furthermore, it's interesting to note that Rashi says the example is exactly as we quoted Rashi. The landlord says 5 years have passed. The tenant says 3 years. Why specifically 3 years? Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, part of the reason we would think that the tenant maybe should be believed, because since he's here 3 years, he has a chazaka, as we're going to soon learn in Mitzvah Shem Sachta Bab Basra, the halacha is cheskes abatim is after 3 years. Teaches us the Mishnah, teaches us the Gemara, that 3 years doesn't give you a chazaka. However, the Mefarshim do say that even though, as we learned, and now the Gemara is going to explain the halacha, that the landlord is Neman, it doesn't change that the landlord is going to have to make a Shvuas Hesis to back up his claim. In fact, the Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim asked this already, why shouldn't he make a Shvua Maida B'Mixus, where the tenant says, you owe me 7 years, and I say, I only owe you 5 years. Isn't this a Maida B'Mixus? And Maida B'Mixus, as we've learned so many times, is a Shvua D'Raisa. So why are we only obligating him to Shvua's Hesus, which is a Shvua D'Rabbanan? Why not to Shvua's Maida B'Mixus or Shvua D'Raisa? The answer is, Gemara we learned just recently, because Ein Nishba and Al Karkos. There is no Shvua Midaraisa or Maida B'Mixus when we're referring to real estate. And here it's a real estate transaction. Amalei Rav Achmed Difta L'Ravina. Ask Rav Achmed Difta L'Ravina, El Ma'ata. If this is correct, what would be the halacha? Oisvei Meizuz B'Shtara. If I lent you $100, Vamalei Praticha Palga, and then you come, the loiva comes and says that he already paid up half. Hakanami the Mehemin, why don't we trust him? Just like we trust the landlord, why don't we trust the loiva? Amalei, so he responds, Hachi Hashta. We can't compare the two situations. Hasam Shtar L'Gavayinu Koi. The purpose of any loan document is to give the malva the opportunity to collect the monies owed to him. And if M. Isa, the pare, if the loiva paid the malva, even if he paid him partially, so the malva is holding a document. The document says that you owe me $100, and now you gave me $50. So what should have you have done? You know I have this document. You should have gone and written on the document, and I already paid off $50. The fact that I'm holding a document that says that you owe me $100 without any modification is actually a raya that you didn't pay me anything. And in fact, the Paiskim, starting with the Rishonim, into the current Paiskim, use this Gemara to teach us a very important halacha. The Gemara is teaching us here that if I have a document and you make a note on the document, the Gemara doesn't say you have to get Edom or anything. It just says, if the Shtar Havah says that you paid up part of it, that's a raya that you did pay up. Why? It's very pashut. Because if you didn't pay up anything, I would have never allowed you to write this on the document, that you did pay up some of it. Where does the shaila come up? The shaila comes up, sometimes you give me a check. You give me a check, but you don't want that there should be any misunderstanding what the check is for. So you write on the check, in payment for whatever you owe me for. Why should you do that? The reason you should do that is because afterwards, I'll say you still owe me the money. And you'll take out a check. And you say, what are you talking about? Here's a canceled check that I paid you. I'll say, yeah, but that was for something else. But if you write on the check that it's in payment for this specific debt or obligation, then I can't say that it was for a different obligation. However, very important, people believe that if you write it on the face of the check where there's a line saying memo, that's good enough. It's not true. Why is that not good enough? Because there's always a concern that, let's say, you owed me money for whatever, for a number of different things. You gave me a straight check. And then there's always a concern that maybe after you got the check back, you wrote on that line whatever you think you owe me, whatever you want to say you owe me for. So the right place to do it is to write it on the back of the check, above where I will sign the check. And therefore, let's say you owe me for whatever, $1,000, and you give me a check for $1,000, and you write in the back in payment for this and this obligation. And then when I want to deposit the check or cash the check, I have to sign under that line. So then there can't be any disagreement what that check was for. And here we see that even though when you wrote that, you don't have Adam, Al-Gemara says, my accepting that document and not saying anything, my signing under it, is the best proof that I am in agreement that this was what it was for. Inami, says the Gemara, if I have a shtar that you owe me money, and there's a claim that I didn't pay you, that you paid me, michtav alei tavra, you should have gotten a receipt. And the fact that you don't have a receipt is a clear indication that you didn't pay up. Avel hacha, in our Gemara, shtara, here I could say, why did I write a lease? Exactly what we said at the beginning. There is a concern that you're going to say that this property is yours, and you're on the property 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So I keep the shtar to say, you only rented the property, you didn't buy it. And therefore, your holding the shtar doesn't give you any strength. And I, because I am the owner of the property, the undisputed owner of the property, are the one that's neman to say how many years of the lease has passed. The right way to do it is just put a date, and you avoid these problems. Says the Gemara further, Amar Rav Nachman, Shoyl Adam Betuva La'ilam. And there are many pshatim in the Rishonim how to explain these words of Shoyl Adam Betuva La'ilam. Rashi explains what this statement means is that I could borrow something from you, and if I use the word betuvai, what I mean to say is that I have a right to use this object that I'm borrowing from you as long as it's usable. That means, typically when I borrow something from you, it's for 30 days. Here, I could keep on using it as long as it's usable. That's Rashi's pshat. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara is teaching us two other pshatim. One pshat that the Rishonim suggested as follows. Typically, we've been spending a lot of time learning this halacha, that if I borrow something from you, the halacha is that I'm a shoyl. And as we learned, it's actually a pasuk in the Chumash, in Parashas Mishpatim, a shoyl has a very high level of responsibility. Teaches us the Gemara here that I'm borrowing something from you, and I'm telling you, you know why you should lend me this object? Because I did you favors. Betuvai, I've done you favors. So one would think that since you're lending me the item, not because you're a nice guy and you're lending me the item, you're lending it because you sort of speak over to me because all of the favors I've done for you, then I shouldn't have the din of a shoyl. And I shouldn't have that high level of responsibility that a shoyl normally carries. Kamash Malan, a shoyl is a shoyl with all of the halachas of a shoyl. That's the second pshat. A third pshat is that you did, that I tell you that, you know what, you're a very nice person. And even though normally she'ela is for a term, here, be a nice person and let me have it indefinitely. The halacha is, she'el adam betuva la'olam, that is a normal type of situation. However, qualifies the Gemara, Amar Amari Brei de Shmuel, v'adakani minei. In order for this condition to be met, there has to be a specific kinyan to make it happen. And Rishonim here too explain. And we're going to work with Rashi's pshat. One pshat is, typical she'ela, the typical term of a she'ela is 30 days. Here, according to Rashi, I could keep on using it until it breaks. So to be able to have this extended period, you have to have a special kinyan to give me that ability. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw is typically if I borrow something from you, so I could use it until I give it back. Once I give it back, the halva is over. Here we're learning a chiddush that I borrow something from you, I use it, I give it back, but then whenever I want it, I could take it again. To have that right, to have that ability, you have to have a special kinyan. So who the konamine? And again, with Rashi's pshat, I could keep on using this item until it's usable. Once it breaks, now the deal is over, but I have to return to you the broken pieces. Says the Gemara, Amru Rava, Hayman da Amalei L'Chavri, Ashlam Mari L'Maik B'Bei Har Padisa. Could you lend me this shovel to dig this field? So the halach is, Rafik Bei Har Hu Pardesa. I only have a right to use it for this specific field. Pardesa, if I say I want to be able to dig in one of my fields, so the halach is, Rafik Bei Kor Pardesa Dabai. Since I didn't specify which field I'm going to dig, I have a right to dig in one of my fields. And as the Rishonim explained, I have a right to dig in any of my fields, even the largest field I have. Since I didn't specify which field I'm going to be digging, I could dig any field, the biggest even, but only one. However, if I said, pardese, to dig in my fields, then the halach is rafik for us. Rafik Vazu called Padisa de Islay, I could dig all of my fields. So Taisus asks the obvious question. The halacha is that let's say I buy a field from you. And again, let's say the way the deal, and we had this Gemara many times, the way the deal is articulated, that you're going to sell me fields. So since the minimum of fields, the minimum of plural is two, you have to give me two fields. But you don't have to give me all your fields. So ask Taisus, why over here, when the word pardese, which is the plural, was used, does it mean that I could dig all my fields? And here, and when I'm buying a field, it means that I only bought two fields. How are these two halachas consistent? So Taisus says, there's a very big difference between when you borrow something to use it versus when you buy something. Typically, says Taisus, a person doesn't want to sell his fields, right? A person doesn't want to sell his fields. And since a person doesn't want to sell his fields, so now we are in a situation where he sold his fields. We assume that he sold the minimum amount. So even if he used the plural wording, we assume he only sold two. Here you're not selling anything. The shovel is still yours. You're just lending it to me. So we could be more liberal in our interpretation and say that you're allowing me to dig in all my fields. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim give is as follows. In the case of the field, you are the seller of the field. You are the muchzik on the field. And now the question is, how many fields did you sell me? Two or all of them? So we interpret it in your favor that you only sold me two. Whereas, in a situation where I borrowed from you a shovel, and I'm holding the shovel, here the halach is that we could assume that I borrowed as many here we could assume that since I'm holding it, I have the upper hand, and I could use it to dig as many fields as I want. Third pshat, maybe the simplest pshat, is the Me'iri's pshat. The Me'iri says that the right gears in the Gemara is not as our Gemara reads, pardisei, but he adds an aleph after the samach, pardisoi. And he says the definition of the word pardisoi means all of my fields. So there's no question that that's what I meant. And therefore the halach is, I could use the shovel for all of my fields. However, as we previously learned, omhadalei kate, once the shovel breaks, I have to return it. The halva is over. Omar rapapa, hayman da omalei l'chavrei. If somebody says to somebody else, oshlanlei hay kargusa, lend me this well, v'naflalei, and then he lent me the right to use the well, and he does. And then the well collapses. Le bonale. He doesn't have to rebuild it. Gagusa, if he didn't specify a specific well, for Nafel, and that well collapses, Banalei. Since he gave me permission, then for this well, he has to for any well, so even if this well fell, this well collapsed, he has to give me another well, because it wasn't supposed to be specifically this well. Begagusa, if he gives me the opportunity to build a well, so the halacha is, Gof kari v'aso kamer gosa ba'are, I have the right to keep on digging in his property for water, Adamus Ramalei, until I find a well, until I hit water. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that even though I have a right under this wording to dig for water until I find it, if you tell me that you want me to dig in a specific spot in the field, I have the obligation to dig there first, because it is your property. However, says the Gemara, I have to make a kinyan, because otherwise it isn't a real obligation. Says the Mishnah, if somebody rents a home to somebody else, the Nafla, and then that home, and the Gemara is going to speak about the details, collapses, so he has to give me another house. How you cotton? If the first house was small, lo yisen a gadol. I could say, I don't want you to replace it with a big house. I like a small house. Or vice versa. Gadol, if the first house was large, lo yisen a cotton. I can't, if I don't want a small home, I could force you to build me a small home, a big home. Echad, if the first home was a one-story house, I could prevent you from making it two stories, or vice versa. If it was originally Shnayim, I could prevent you from Layasana Echad from making it one. Layifchas Mechalonis, I could require that I have the exact same amount of windows as the first home had, the Layasif Alayim. And nor, I could tell you that you can't have more windows, unless, obviously, Midash Shnayim, we both are in agreement. Hechidami, ask them what exactly are the circumstances of our Mishnah. Either Amalei, that you're telling me I'm renting you this specific house, and then this house, Nafal, collapses, Azalei. So that house is no longer here, and therefore, there's no issue. And the interesting point that we're trying to make is as follows. Let's say you tell me you're renting me this house, this specific house. And then this house collapses. So the Gemara says, it isn't here. But let's say the house is here, but it fell into disrepair. So the halacha will be different. You're going to have to repair it. So it's interesting to Rishonim point out, if the house, something breaks, you have to fix it. But if it collapses, you could say the deal is off. Id amale bayis tam, Echad, you just said you're going to rent me a house. Echad, if you said you're going to rent me a house without any specification, so then you didn't specify what kind of house it is. So then why, if the original house had only one floor, Echad, am I lo yisen shnayim? Why can't you build? There were no special details included in our original agreement. Cotton, am I lo yisen a gadol? There were no special agreement. Answers the Gemara, Amrei Shlokish, Damrei Baish, Ani Maskeloch. You tell me that the home you're renting me this karach kach v'kach. In the contract or in the agreement, the dimensions were clearly spelled out. Ask the Gemara Halacha Ma'ala Memra. If the dimensions were clearly spelled out, so you obviously have to give me what we agreed to. Ella, ki asa raven amrei shlokish, damalei, bayis kazeh, ani maskalach. You didn't speak about a specific house. You showed me a house, and you said, I'm renting you a house like that. And that, halacha is, if that house collapses, you have to give me another house similar to that house. Ask the Gemara, of course. That was all we agreed upon. Vakati Maila Memra. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricho, the Koi Aguda de Nahara. A house really has two primary characteristics. One characteristic are its dimensions, and the other characteristic is location. So you said, Bayis Kazeh, this type of house. And this house was Aguda de Nahara. It was a beachfront property. So one could perhaps suggest that all you and I agreed to was location, not dimensions. And therefore, if the house you gave me collapses, as long as the second house has the same type of location, even though it doesn't have the same type of dimensions, you haven't violated the agreement. All that we meant was the location, the kaya good of the nara, kamashmanda. When you said bayis kazeh, you meant both elements. You meant the location and the characteristics. And therefore the halacha will be that you have to provide me with another house that has the same location and the same dimension. And actually, we look at this Gemara, and it's a very relevant shaila halacha lemaisa. The Ramah, the Nesivos discussed the shaila. Here the Gemara says that if you didn't specify this house, you just specified characteristics of what you're going to give me, as long as you fulfill those characteristics, the deal is done. So the question that comes up is as follows. I take a room in a hotel, and when I take the room, there's an agreement what type of room I'm getting, size, location. And you give me a room. And then the hotel, for whatever reason, wants me to move out of the room, and they'll give me another room that'll have the exact same characteristics. They'll have the same dimensions, the same location that we agreed upon. And the hotel could ostensibly do it all the time. Every night they can move me into another room. That they're following their part of the deal. It's exactly what we agreed upon. Can you do that? Can you do that by a hotel? Can you do that by an apartment? If you didn't specify one specific room, one specific apartment. If you learn the Gemara, Pasha Pshat, the landlord should really have that right. However, the Nesivos, interesting psak of the Nesivos, says a landlord only has a chance to do that once. In other words, if you gave me a room, you gave me an apartment, and you want me to move out to another apartment that will have the characteristics that we agreed upon, you could only force me to move once. You can't just keep on moving me by saying, I'm giving you what we agreed upon. Hadron l'chashoyl, hadron l'chashoyl, hadron l'chashoyl. As we begin the next perek, we've already briefly discussed that people who worked on a field had two types of relationships. One is called a chayker, and one was called an oris. A chayker is essentially a tenant. Just a tenant usually pays with cash his rent. A chayker pays with produce. But the produce that I, the tenant, have to pay you does not necessarily have to be from the field that I rented from you. As long as I give you the agreed upon produce. An oris gives the owner of the field a share of the produce of the field. Says the Mishnah, Hamakabel, Sadam Chaveri, and as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's shir, this Mishnah, unlike most of the other Mishnahs in this Perek, is speaking both about a Chayker and Oris. As the Gemara and the Mishnahs will go on, there are situations that apply to only each one. The dinim, most of the dinim in this Mishnah are for both of them. Hamakabel, Sadam Chaveri, whether it's as Rhesus or Chakiris, Markus Nagu Liktzer Yiktzer, Lak or Yaker. Some places they just cut the produce, and some places they completely uproot them. You have to follow the Minig HaMakom. And Ramosha says, based on this Mishnah, you know, we always speak about Minhagim, we think Minhagi Yisrael are what called Minhagim. Minhagim aren't limited to Minhagi Yisrael. The way agriculture worked is not a Minig Yisrael. A minig is what's done, and therefore even a minig of none of Yisrael could be considered a minig. Lachrush Akrav Yachrush, where there's a minig to plow after the cutting, you have to do that. Hakol k'minig ha-medina, says the Mishnah, k'shem shechokim b'tfuah, just like whatever deal there is by an oris in dividing the produce, k'chokim b'tevin u'b'kash, they divide the hay and the straw. Kishem shechokim b'yayin, just like the wine that's produced, they divide between themselves according to the agreed upon percentages. Kachokin b'zmayis, the vines, or b'kanim, we'll learn in the Gemara, the kanim mean the sticks, the poles on which the vines are supported. V'shneim mespikim esakanim. If somebody is an oris in a field, and a very important part of growing grapes, is the grape vines, are just vines, they're going to fall. So the way they do, what they used to do is take poles to support them from just falling down. Both the oris and the landlord have to pay for those new poles. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Tana, Makom Shnagel Litzar, if there's a minig in this place to cut, and Rishoy Laker, you're not allowed to just uproot. Laker, if the minig on Makom is to uproot the produce, and Rishoy Litzar, you can't cut. Vishnayim, Makom Zalzeh, and each one of the parties could say, we insist that the minig HaMakom be followed. Litzar and Rishoy Laker, if the minig is to cut, then you're not allowed to uproot. Hi Amr, being the Titfinli Ari, this one says, I want the entire property, I don't want anything left. But hi Amr, Lemitzin Laker, I don't want to go through the bother of uprooting. Lemitzin, I don't want to go through that bother. So you have to follow the Minig HaMakom. Laker, in a place where the Minig is to uproot, so you can't enter Sharlik, so I can't say I only want to cut. Hi, I'm a Tanaka Ari. This one says I want it completely clean. How will the property be completely cleaned? By uprooting. Hi, I'm a Bina Tivna. The other one says I'd rather the straw. And by uprooting, there won't be any straw. Again, we follow the Minigam Makam. And the Taisus Yontif says a very interesting observation. The Mishnah taught us, it's not the first time we learned this halacha, that Hakol Kaminigam Medina. So why does the Gemara have to start explaining why some people have this minig and some people have that minig? The Gemara should have said, we follow the minig of Medina, finished. Says the Taisus Yontif, the Gemara is teaching us a very important rule. Just because there's a minig of Medina, the minig of Medina has to have some explanation. Just to say, this is what everybody does, and what they do makes absolutely no sense, doesn't make it into minig of Medina. So our Gemara goes out of the way to show that there's a good reason to cut and not uproot, or there's a good reason to uproot and not cut, so everybody has a good reason for what they should do, then the halach is, what should we do? The Minig HaMedina. Says the Gemara, V'shnei Me'akven Zal Zalamali, what does the Braisa want to add with those words? And says the Gemara, Ma Tam Kama, Ma Tam Litza and Rishoy Laker, why is the halach, if the Minig is to cut, you're not allowed to uproot, or if the Minig is Laker and Rishoy Litzer, V'shnei Me'akven Zal Zer, they could each have the right to follow and demand that we follow the Minig HaMedina. Lachrish, Achrav Yachrish. Pshita, Leitzrich Be'asrud Loin Menachshe V'ozel. This is a place where people typically don't weed out the property that they're working on. V'ozel Iyu V'nachish. This worker did take out the weeds. Manatema, so perhaps the worker should be allowed to argue and say, Haide Nechishna, the reason I went through the bother of weeding this property is that the loy krivnalei, so I should be able to avoid the need to plow after I cut the produce. Kamash malon, the boiler fushalei. You should have said it. And if you didn't have that agreement, and the minig hamakom is to plow, the fact that you weeded earlier won't change that. Hakol kaminig hamedina. The Mishnah added those words. Asked the Gemara, Hakol asuyamai. What is the Mishnah trying to teach us with these words? Answers the Gemara, Lasuya Hadatana Rabbanan. The Mishnah wants to teach us what we learned in the following braisa. Makom Shenagu Lahaska Ilonis Agavikarka. In a place that if there are trees, I rented from you a property for its vegetables, but there are some trees on this property. Makom shehas nagel haske ilonus al gav karka maskirin. In other words, let's say I rented from you this property. This property primarily is there to grow wheat, to grow vegetables. But there are some trees. And the contract and the agreement doesn't speak about the trees. So do I get a right to keep the produce of the trees or not? Says the Gemara, as the Braisa teaches us, we follow the Minig HaMakom. Makom shenagel haske ilonus al gav karka maskirin. Makom she'ein nagel haskir, ein maskirin. Ask the Gemara, makom she'nagel haskir maskirin, if that's the minig hamakom, so we know that we're always following the minig hamakom. Why does it have to be expressly said, this halacha? Le'tzricha, the kula alma yov betilsa. Usually, the relationship is that the landlord gets one-third of the produce, and the worker gets two-thirds of the produce. For Ozel Iyu V'yave Berivi, Here we have a situation where the landlord is only getting 25%. Madatema. So perhaps the landlord should be able to successfully argue. Domlei hai de batzulach. The reason I agree to take only 25% is that the law you have no lach beilanas was because you're not going to be able to get the produce of the tree. Kamash malon the bailei lefurish shalei. You can't make any assumptions. And if it wasn't clearly discussed, then the halacha is that if the minig amakim is that when I rent the property, I get everything, even what grows on the tree, I will get what grows on the tree. Taisus and the other Rishonim ask that our Gemara, as it explains the case, says that the landlord gets a third or 25%, and the worker gets 75% or two-thirds. As Taisus, usually when the Gemara speaks about an aresis relationship, it's the other way around. The landlord gets most of the produce, and it's the worker that gets the lesser amount. And here we have a situation that the Gemara is speaking that the worker, the oris, is going to get the largest share, and the landlord is going to get the smaller share. How do we understand this Gemara? And actually, because of Tysus's kasha, the Tva explains the Gemara that way. The Gemara explains that it's the worker who's going to get the smaller amount, and the landlord getting the larger amount. But Pash Pshat in the Gemara is like Taisvis, that the landlord's getting the smaller amount. But that's contrary to all the other examples that we have in Shas about an Oris. So Taisvis says, interesting. Taisvis says, where does the landlord get the largest share? Is when the landlord, besides providing the property, also provides the seeds. Then the landlord gets the largest share, and the Oris gets the smaller share. But in a situation where the Oris doesn't only provide the work, but the oris also provides the seed, that type of an oresis relationship, the oris gets the largest share and the landlord gets the smaller share. Continues the Gemara. Makam shenagush loyla haskir, emaskirim. If in the minig makam is that the fruit of the tree doesn't come along, so then the oris is not entitled to it. Ask the Gemara, pshita, obvious, if it's the minig makam, we follow the minig makam. Answers the Gemara, letzricha. The kula alma, the Kabul Beriva. Here, typically the landlord gets 25%. For Azal the EU, the Kibla Batilsa. Here the landlord got a third. Matatema, Omale, the worker, the Oris, should be able to say to the landlord, Haida Tafiloch, the reason I gave you a larger percentage than normally is a data, the Yavli Bilonis, that I should be able to get a share not only in the crops, but also in the fruit of the tree. Kamash Malan, that the landlord could say, the barle lefrushale, you should have articulated it, and if you didn't articulate it, you don't get it. Kshem shechokim tfuo, kach chokim tfuo bekash. Amma, Rav Yosef, bebovel nahiga, the meaning in bovel is, the loya havetivna larisa, that the oris doesn't get a shear of the straw. Ask the Gemara, lamay nafkamina, why do we need to know it? Obviously, we follow the minig amakam. Answers the Gemara. Di'ik inish the yov. If you will have a person that will give his oris a shear in the straw and the hay, ayin yofahu. It's a situation that he's a generous person, and it should not be used to learn from there. That doesn't become the halacha. V'loy gamina minay. Amr Rav Yosef. Bukhra. V'tafsa. V'akvasa. V'karnit chezra. The balabayis. Says the Gemara. What this all means, as Rashi explains, around the field, they made a ditch, and they put earth on top of that ditch, and afterwards, the ditch, by people standing on it, would be trodden on and get lower. So Bukhur is the first layer, the first amount of earth that was put there. When it's stepped on, so you put on tafsa, you put on a second heap of earth, and when that's stepped on, akavasa, that's the third layer, kani de chizra are the poles that are put on around the field to put for the fence. All of these are the obligation of the balabayas to provide. Chizra gufa, then they used to put like thorns between the poles. That is the oris's obligation. Says the Gemara, kolola de milsa, kol ikur Balma, whatever is absolutely essential is the Baal Bais' responsibility. Niturasu Yeserta, what is on top of the basic requirement, is the Oris' responsibility. Vom Rav Yosef, Mora is the shovel, Vizavila is the fertilizer, Vidavla is the pail, Vizarnuka is, they used to have like a water flask that they used to have, the Baal Bais, all of them have to be provided by the Bais. Oris Ovid Beya Oriv. They have to, the Oris has to make the irrigation canals from where the water is to get it to the field. Says the Mishnah further, Shem Shecholkim B'yayin, Kacholkim Mizmoris Uvekanim. Says the Gemara, Konim Mayav Adetayu. We spoke about this. What is the purpose of these poles? Amudir Be'yarab Yanai, Koni Amuchalokim. They used to have poles, and the way they used to make, the poles that they used to use was that they would peel off the outer layer of the piece of wood. So they called Ponim Amuchalokim, Shebehem Mamid Mazakfanim. They were used to support the vines. Vishneim Mispak Mesakonim, says the Malomali. Why does the Mishnah have to say this? Answers the Ma Tam Kama. Ma Tam Shneim Chok Mekonim. Why does the Mishnah teach us that the halach is that both the landlord and the oris divide these konim? Because the reason is, Shem the Shneim Mesapkim Mesakonim. They both equally provided it, so they both deserve to divide it, to divide them after they used. Says the Mishnah. Hamakabin. If somebody is an oris in a field, and it's a base of shalchin, it's a field that doesn't have enough rainwater, it needs to be irrigated, or base of ilon, yove shamayin, and the ilon is especially deer, it's a valuable tree, and now yove shamayin, the well from which this field is watered, v'naksas ilon, or this tree is cut off, the halach is einem naklem chikurai. The halach is that he still has to give the same amount of rent. In other words, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that if I rented a property from you, and then something materially changes, I have a right to say that I deserve a reduction in the rent. And the Mishnah is identifying what is considered a material change. Im Amali. However, if when the deal was made, it was said, Chakali Sadabes Ashalchan Zu, a Sadabes Ilan Zeh, so it was clearly indicated that there's a well here, or there's the tree here, and now, Yovah Shamayin, Veniksa Sa'ilan, so it was clearly indicated that this is part of the actual deal, and then if it's no longer here, Dalach is Menakla Mechikuroi, I have a right to reduction of the rent. Ask the Gemara. Hechidomi, exactly what is the Mishnah referring to? Ilay Menovish Nahar Rabbah, that there's a big source of water from where this field is watered, and that source dries up. Amay Enam Naklam Chakurei, namely, Max Medinahi. Why shouldn't he say that there's a terrible situation? I should be able to get a reduction. Omra Papa, the case of our Mishnah is the Yovish Nahar Zuta, the big source of water still remains. It's only a small canal from which the water passes, Domele, and then the landlord could say, Ibayla Chasuba Davla. This is not a situation that you have a right for reduction, because since the main source of water is still here, you have no right to say that you were materially affected and you have to pay the full rental agreement. I saw interesting Shiloh, because this is a very relevant question. What is considered a material change that I have a right to a reduction of rent? Let's say I rented an apartment. The question comes up fairly often. I rented an apartment in an apartment house, and now the landlord and all the apartments in the house were rented by people that I know that I'm very comfortable with. And then one of the apartments was vacated, and the landlord brought in new tenants, tenants who I don't like, tenants who I feel are undesirable. Is that a fair issue that I could go back to the landlord and say I deserve a reduction? And the price can say the way to judge this is if look at the other apartment houses in this neighborhood. If in the other houses in this neighborhood there are those type of people living in the apartments, so it's safe to assume that there are going to be those kind of families living in this house. And that my saying, how did this happen, is unacceptable. But if the landlord is the first to bring this type of a tenant into the house, nobody in the neighborhood did, it's a fair issue that I could claim the reduction in rent.